This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
Let's get to Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Thank you. I was doing some study in Luke chapter 9 this past week, and I had a question. This is the part where they describe a child that was convulsing, foaming at the mouth, and became stiff as a board. Obviously, they were describing a seizure. And I was wondering, how do we distinguish today between a seizure that is caused by a medical issue and a seizure caused by a demon?
We'd have to have the Holy Spirit reveal that to us. That's all. Okay.
Nothing more descriptive than that?
Well, how else? I mean, we have spiritual demonic machines that can measure how much a demonic thing is working in a person. You know, we can tell them, hey, look, that's 8 out of 10 Ds, Ds for demons, so therefore it's probable. We don't have that kind of a thing. So we do know that.
Because usually, I mean, it seems nowadays that we just assume that it's a medical issue and treat it with medication.
True. And I think a lot of it is medical, but I think a lot of it also can be demonically initiated. There are plenty of reports of people being released.
So there's no way to really distinguish, aside from what you were saying, the Holy Spirit reveals it to us?
Well, I would say that is one way, and if the person under such a seizure is speaking in another voice, their head's turning around, or levitating and cursing God, I think that'd be a good clue also, that it's demonically oriented. So,
we also have, there are forms of epilepsy where that causes people to do that also, but, not epilepsy, but encephalitis.
You mean where their heads rotate?
You're not going to twist their head off and without them living. But, speaking languages backwards and cursing God and all these types of things. These things have been documented to occur with a form of receptor encephalitis. And there's a book on it that's called Brain on Fire that documents that.
Okay.
But I was curious about that. Nowadays we just assume it's a medical issue. I don't know of anyone who describes it as a demon anymore, and I was just curious.
Well, what I do is, whenever I encounter anything like that, I always assume a medical thing first, and if those things are exhausted, then I start entertaining the idea of a spiritual effect, a spiritual influence. That's what I do.
Sorry. Okay. All right, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Let's get to Charles from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I like your show. Anyway, I just want to comment on the last caller. He was talking about, you know, demons. I hope he's listening. He was talking about, you know, demons and whatnot. I know from past experience from relatives, when someone is saved, that soul belongs to God. Nothing can take it back or steal it. You're property of God. When now an unsaved soul, someone that doesn't know God, could be possessed, and you know there is ways of it being where it'll take and attack you. But of course, when someone is saved again, you belong to God, and nothing can ever take or possess that soul because God is bigger and greater than anything that anybody can ever think of.
You know, that's true. We cannot be possessed as Christians. We cannot be possessed by any demonic forces. And absolutely, I'm glad you said that because it's part of the necessity of discussing that whole topic. Here's a question, though. It says that Paul was buffeted from a messenger of Satan in his body. And that's always bothered me in the sense that I can't quite figure out exactly what that is. So was he speaking metaphorically, or was it a literal kind of a something? that God allowed Satan to afflict bodily. Now, we would know he can't be possessed. There's no, that's not possible. But that's just another question that needs to be thrown in the mix there. And it seems to be the
absolutely.
Case.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely bodily. You know, God allows us to go through the trials and whatnot to build our faith. He knows what we're going to do, and he does allow us. Or he allows us to go through the trial, but he knows that, he knows the end result, so
that's right.
You know, the devil can always try, but God already knows. So
stay strong,
everyone. Just stay strong and know that God is bigger than anything and everything.
Amen. Good stuff, buddy.
Praise God.
Appreciate it.
Praise God. His glory. Right. His glory.
That's right. Oh, I like that.
Amen.
That's right, Charles. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get over to Scott from North Carolina. Scott, welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Yes, Matt. I did want to make a comment on that last caller.
Okay.
I found a place in the Bible where it says, Jesus went about healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. I don't get into that topic, but I feel like that probably all sickness comes from the devil. But
yeah, that's the question.
Much about it.
Yeah, we don't. Yes. I don't know. I can't tell you from the scriptures. We know Christians cannot be possessed, but it does appear that they can suffer physically from various things. In fact, I just got word, one yesterday, one today, two Christians I know dealing with cancer. And they're good, godly men. So what does that mean, you know? I wish I just had better answers. I wish I could be able to tell you, yeah, this is a demonic attack, even upon a Christian. Again, just to reiterate, they cannot be possessed. But it does appear that they can be afflicted, because we know that the Jews were afflicted demonically. And when Paul said he had a messenger of Satan, we don't know what that exactly is, but it's opening up the possibility of a physical kind of an oppression. So, you know, something to discuss.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Slick from Matt Slick Live, and I wanted to let you know about MyPillow. I got one a few weeks ago, I gave it a try, and after the first night I said, that's it, I am not going to use a different pillow. And I'm not kidding. I use a CPAP machine, the thing is perfect. In fact, when I travel, that's the pillow I'll be taking with me. All you got to do is go to MyPillow.com, click at the top left under bed pillows, and then click on the 4-pack special. Type in the promo code TRUTH, and you can get 50% off. The 4-pack includes two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. They're 100% cotton. They have 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Let me tell you, they really are good, and I absolutely love the one I use. You can also call 800-944-5396 and use a promo code TRUTH. Get a 10-year warranty on these babies. Love them. I love them. Please check them out. 1-800-944-5396 and use a promo code TRUTH. Truth.
So let's get to Josh from Utah. Josh, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, hello.
Hello. You're on the air. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Oh. Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you for taking my call. Hi.
Sure.
I got a question for about, I don't remember what chapter in 1 Corinthians was. You know that part where there was a member of the church that was sleeping with the dad,
yeah,
with her father's,
mm-hmm.
I guess, ex-wife or whatever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There was a passage that God kind of got me was that that Paul said, turning my work to Satan for the mm-hmm. destruction of the flesh.
Excuse me. What does it mean by
deliver
him to Satan? When people sometimes walk in sin who are supposed to be Christians, who may be real Christians, and they continue to live in sin, God will warn them. And a lot of times, if they don't heed the warning, he'll kill them. He'll take them home. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But,
yep.
No, the question was about the spirit. He said, so the tournament to the destruction of the flesh, so at the end, his spirit might be saved.
Mm-hmm. Some people use this verse as a demonstration that you can lose your salvation. It doesn't necessitate that.
Right.
Because if it was possible to lose our salvation, then Christ lost some, and he can't lose any, because they were given to the Father, to him, John 6, 37 through 40. So one option is that so he'll be saved. To guarantee that salvation, God kills him, takes him home, so that you can never lose a salvation, right? Because God will intervene. It doesn't say that it's possible to lose salvation because of Jesus, because Jesus says so. You can't in John 10, 27, 28, and John 6, 37 through 40. So, yeah, it's a very sobering verse. It's a very sobering verse. And I had a brush with it.
Okay. Oh, okay. I get it. I understand. Okay. Okay. And I wonder if I can squeeze in another question. Is that fine?
Yeah, sure. Real fast. What do you got?
Okay. And what are your thoughts on Jimmy Swaggart?
He's a heretic who needs to quit. And the reason is because what Jimmy Swaggart did was, in the late 80s and stuff, is he more than once went to prostitutes. And because of this, he was defrocked, and he should be defrocked. Now, the Bible says that the elders to be above reproach. That doesn't mean perfection, but a pastor, teacher is an elder. Or an elder, it's pastor, teacher, and elder in this context. And so what he did was, not only once, but twice that we know of, is he visited prostitutes. And this means that a man who was in that position, who was to be trusted, supposedly, to be able to preach that word, then did that which is abhorrent to God as a minister of the gospel, not once, but twice. Therefore, he is disqualified from being a proper preacher and teacher of the word of God. And that's it.
Okay. So, I was mostly asking, because I knew all about that, about his whole scandal. I was just more of a doctrine-wise that he teaches, because I recently got a commentary off my mom's house, and he had a revelation. So I thought maybe you know anything about his
I have a problem with people getting revelations from God. Because it's a form of arrogance in that they get up on the stages and they say, when the Lord told me, like Beth Moore says this, or Joyce Meyer will say it, Kenneth Copeland, the Lord told me. In other words, they're getting revelation from God himself, from the creator of the universe, talking to them personally. So you need to listen to me now. This kind of a thing. If I were ever preaching, let me just say this, and I thought I had something from the Lord, a word from the Lord, which is a word of knowledge, or a revelation as it talks about, I would be extremely careful, not casually speaking it, but extremely and fearfully presenting it and asking the elders to judge it, only if I thought it was necessary that I say it, and not in a flippant, casual way in order to gain people. Okay? We gotta go.
Okay, cool.
Right,
well, thank you.
God bless, buddy. All right. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Phones, get to Jacob from North Carolina. Jacob, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, got a question for you. So, So I read your article on the multiverse. I guess it was a couple years ago, or weeks ago, and got a question. You mentioned in the article that if the theory of the multiverse is correct, then it proves that Christianity is correct because of the infinite possibilities in the universe. But then, does it not also prove that other religions are correct because of the infinite possibilities?
Nope. Because if Christianity is true, because for those who don't know, the multiverse says that there's an infinite number of universes out there. Well, if that's the case, then there's a universe in which the Christian God is true. But by definition, the Christian God can be the only one who's true in all existence, in all universes, in all things.
Okay. But wouldn't there not be then a universe where the Christian God is not true?
No. Because if he's...
That's the opposite. Okay.
If he is the true God... if he's the true God. All these different universes that they like to pose. It's actually a non sequitur. It doesn't work that way. You can't have multiverses. Yeah. There's too many problems with it. It's logical problems. It's like right. You take called an actual infinite or a potential infinite. You take a line that's a foot long. How many points are on that line? Well, an infinite number. Take half that distance. How many points are on that? An infinite number. Well, how can half of an infinite be equal to the whole of the infinite? So you have these logical problems. And it's this kind of a thing that rises up with the multiverse thing. Because if there's an infinite number of universes, well, then how is it possible for that to be? You can't have an infinite number because it comes into an actual potential thing, not an actual infinite, not a potential infinite. For those who don't know, a potential infinite is a gradual increase in numbers from a starting point on, not infinitely old or infinitely in the past. So if we have the multiverse idea, then we have a paradox, because that would mean the Christian God is true. But if the Christian God is true, it means all other systems can't be true.
In that specific universe. But what about, is it not possible then for God to create a universe in which he is not sovereign?
No. Because it goes against his revealed word that he's sovereign over all things. And so all things would encompass all potential universes. So he would logically be the only true God in all of them.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's kind of hard to understand. I mean, it's theory, obviously. I don't believe it's true, but I just thought it was kind of interesting and wanted to call you about it.
Yeah, and that's the issue is we have logical paradoxes, conundrums, and sometimes antinomies. And so we have to deal with these things. And that's why when, atheists will tell me there's an infinite number of universes, and I'll say, oh, so you're a Christian, huh? Because that means in one of those universes, you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian in that universe, well, then why wouldn't you be trying to talk to yourself here, saying you need to repent? So which one of you is true? So you see, you have these games you can play, and it just doesn't get us anywhere.
All right. Boy, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, man. No problem at all. All right.
Thanks, Matt. God bless.
You too. God bless.
Robbie Dillmore here, and the Truth Network podcasts have helped make MyPillow the company it is today. And now Mike Lindell, who, by the way, I've met and is a great guy, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. For the first time, you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Who never thought that my dream job would be selling MyPillows? Maybe you're getting tired of these sleeping jokes, but you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with a promo code GETTRUTH, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for only $29.99. Enter promo code GETTRUTH or call 800-942-9613 for these great radio specials.
Chad from Illinois. Chad, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, by God's grace. Man. What do you got, buddy?
All right. Well, I was the one who called in last night. I was the last caller. We were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and witnessing to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this. The Watchtower is going through a crisis right now because of, a lot of the legal stuff they're going through with the child abuse and stuff like that.
No, I didn't know.
So I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
No. Mm-hmm. I do know there have been past legal problems, and they kind of go through them and bury them quickly. So I've known that there's been consistent, periodic lawsuits and things like that about child abuse. But something new or more is coming up?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, and it's really breaking here in America now, the entire country of Australia got concerned over all these child abuse cases, and they called it the Royal Commission of Australia, and they gave every different denomination a case number, and they found out that the Watchtower had hid and covered up for 1,006 child predators in the country of Australia alone.
No, I didn't know about that. I do know that they've been doing that here in the States periodically. And what they'll try and do is have their own elders take care of it, and they often bury it. And then these guys, in some cases women, I'm assuming, these guys continue their abusive, well, their abuse, let's just say. Wow.
Right. And now it's at the point now where they're getting sued and they're not able to keep it under wraps, because when people start looking for it, and you get, you start talking to ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, what you find out is there are Jehovah's Witnesses who don't want to be Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. They stay in because their family is there. They don't want to lose their family.
That's right.
And these are high-ranking people. They leak top-secret documents for how elders are supposed to handle problems, how their overseers are supposed to handle problems. And I actually have a copy of the manual where it talks about how they're supposed to cover up problems using what they call the two-witness rule. Oh, yeah.
So you have the manuals.
I'll have to email you a PDF of it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's the actual manual. It's for elders' eyes only.
I want it.
But yeah, I'll have to email you a PDF of it.
Yes, please do. It would be very useful.
Yeah. And I've been witnessing with two Jehovah's Witnesses trying to help them come out of the watchtower. And it's amazing because, as you know, it used to be you could start a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness and they would spend an hour, 2 hours just arguing with you.
Not so much anymore.
Now they're at the point. Yeah, now they're at the point where they just say, well, you need to go to JW.org and look this up and research it for yourself.
You know,
that's their new way of handling it.
I love JW.org. It helps me so much in my research against them. And I don't know if you know. It's incredible stuff. Hold on. Do you know about the downloadable file, the searchable file that you can get from them?
Oh, yeah. I've got it. You'd be surprised. Like, I have scans of all their old documents of false prophecies, and then I've downloaded so much stuff directly from their own website.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot get a JW to take gospel tracts or Christian books from you. And I'm at the point now when I'm witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses, I keep a stack of papers printed out. I keep them in my backpack, and I carry my backpack everywhere I go. When I'm talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I know this sounds mean, I will go up to them if I see them in McDonald's, because most of them know me, and they are told not to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see Jehovah's Witnesses I don't know, I'll walk up to them, introduce myself, and I'll say, hi, I'm one of Chad's Jehovah's Witnesses, and I just wanted to share with you about the kingdom. Did you know that Jesus returned invisibly in 1874 and the Battle of Armageddon happened in 1914? And they're like, no, that's not it at all. That's not what Jehovah's Witnesses believe.
Oh, yes, it is.
And I said, oh, yes, it is. And I pull out the actual copies of their own publications and say, here, look for yourself. And you will see a look of fear come over them. And at that point, I just say, you know what? Why don't you keep that? I have more. And I'll give you my number. And if you want to talk about this later on, we can. And then I quickly move on to something else. Because one of the things I try to do, and this is probably the most effective way of witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses I've seen, is you have to short-circuit their programming and get them to think for themselves, something they're not allowed to do with the watchtower.
I'm just loving what you're saying, because you're so right on every point. I mean, I can tell you've done a lot of witnessing to the witnesses, because they're exactly right. I call them watchtowerites, not to their face, but they're watchtowerites.
Right.
They've been brainwashed by the watchtower. Let me ask you, have you been to a Kingdom Hall and sat through some of their services?
I'm not allowed in.
You can go to different places.
I was initially invited through a Bible study I was holding. And that was at the beginning of the Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, they said, I'm not welcome on the property. So,
yeah, you remind me of me. I've been escorted off. Escorted off of Kingdom Hall properties, Mormon properties. And not by being mean, just by asking questions. In fact, I've even been went to one Mormon church, for example. I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet, and I was escorted off. Oh, you're Matt Slick. Yes. Well, you need to leave.
Oh, yeah.
But you always go to different kingdom halls. You need to, if you haven't been, I assume you have, you know, go through some of their services, because it's very eye-opening to see what they do and how they're brainwashed, the procedures they use. So
it is. I got a hold of a book written by an ex-Jehovah's Witness, and it's to help people who are trapped in the Watchtower or who have just came out. Mm-hmm. The whole goal of the book is to help them find wholeness apart from the Watchtower. The author of it, it's a great book to read because it gets you inside the mind of a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the author, her name is Bonnie Zeman. She's been out of the Watchtower for 20 years.
Wow.
Reading her book, which she recommended to me. I got to talk to her on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Just flipping through her book, reading it, I can see, even though she's been out for 20 years, there's bits and pieces of the brainwashing and programming that are still in her mind. And she, since she left, she became a licensed psychologist or psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And she still doesn't realize the mind control they have over her. And I love her to death, but I mean, it's evident if you read her writings.
Yeah.
Because when she's describing what to look out for in a high-control cult, some of the things she lists, like, this is the only way of salvation. Well, wait a minute. Christianity believes that faith in Christ and his sacrifice alone is the only way to salvation, but that doesn't make us a cult. That makes us a world religion. So it's really interesting how people who've been out of it for so long can still be programmed in certain ways.
Well, if you don't know the truth, then you get, it takes a long time to find out what the truth is. That's, my advantage is I was never a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or anything. I was mixed up in the occult when I was younger and got tricked into being saved in a very dramatic fashion. And then started studying. So I learned my theology basically on the streets by talking to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Oneness Pentecostal people and Christian Science. And I did this back in the early 80s and had a swap meet ministry for 2.5 years. Went out every Saturday, my roommates and I, and we would set up a booth and pass out literature, and we would debate and discuss. So this is what we did, and we just... we had no denominational leanings. We had no anything. And so we just go home and look at the Bible for answers to questions we didn't have answers to yet. That's what we did. And so we learned a great deal. And that's what I learned. If we get a break coming, we want to hold. We have nobody waiting, so why don't you hold on, okay? All right, that'll be Chad from Illinois. Be right back after these messages. Folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back. If you're interested in helping out CARM, you like CARM, we have an interesting kind of a need, and that need is for computers. We are trying to get computers for our three missionaries, one in Brazil, one in Colombia, and one in Africa. If you're interested in checking that out, you want to help out, we have some GoFundMe things. All you got to do is go to CARM and just type in GoFundMe, carm.org/GoFundMe, and you'll see what we have there. And that's what we're asking for, and it's for good cause, it really is. Back with Chad. Chad, enjoying the conversation we're having on Jehovah's Witnesses. So.
Oh, so am I, Matt. So am I. We were talking about just how they're programmed and brainwashed and stuff. And I mean, I look at it, it's so insane because one thing I've seen over the years, watching old Dr. Walter Martin videos and listening to his lectures and watching great stuff from you and some others, you know, witnessing in real time on the street, it's been so beneficial. And I mean, it amazes me just how brainwashed these folks can be. And I never, when I'm talking with Jehovah's Witness, I never use terms like cult or brainwash.
Right.
I'll always refer to it as, if I do have to refer to it, I'll call it programming, because it's a little less offensive.
Right.
But one of the things I've discussed with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've had a really good success rate at getting them to think for themselves, is I will take them, you know, they like to play Bible ping pong, and they yes. like to just take you into all these different things that don't even matter. One of the things I've done is I will start talking to them about the Old Testament and sacrifices in the Old Testament. And, you know, they're really hung up on Jesus was not crucified. He was hung on a torture stake.
Well, and, they still call it crucifixion. It's just not a cross, right?
Well, right. And I'll talk to them and say, well, you know, in the Old Testament, that's where we learn about why Jesus had to be crucified. And they'll agree. And they'll agree that he was our sacrifice for sin. And at that point, I'll take them into like Exodus 29 or some other passages where it talks about how the priest had to take the blood of a sacrifice and put it on the horns of the altar. And I'll ask them, how many horns are on the altar? And they'll say, well, four. And I'll say, right. And I'll say, now you believe Jesus is your sacrifice for sin, right? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll say, well, if he was crucified on a torture stake, how many places are there for the blood to be applied? Is it two or is it four? And they'll always say, well, two. And I'll say, but according to the Old Testament, a sacrifice had to have his blood put on four different places of the altar, not two.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cross is the New Testament altar that the sacrifice was laid upon, then we have 4 points. But if it was only a torture stake, we only have two. How can you explain that? And then I use buzzwords and I say, I'm really struggling with that. Can you help me understand it?
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And that forces them to want to help.
Right.
It's just amazing how if you take the little non-essentials and you get them to start thinking for themselves about them, it can oftentimes lead them to think about major things.
Right.
So,
well, absolutely correct. Yeah, one of the things I'll do is I'll ask them questions. I'll say, you know, I was reading the Bible, and I came across something very interesting. I never lie to them. And I'll say, and there's a couple of verses that got me thinking, maybe you could help me understand them better. You know, it's certainly possible. Just because they're a Jehovah's Witness doesn't mean they can't have some correct information. So they'll say, sure, what verses?
Right.
And I'll show them. And I have these two I would do. Now, they've altered the Bible in one of them so that it makes it more difficult. But I did it for, you know, 30 years. I'd be doing this with him. I, you know, go to Genesis 19:24, Jehovah rained fire and brimstone from Jehovah on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'd show him the verse. I'd say, what,
right.
is that? What do you think of that? And half the time they'd look at me and say, are you trying to show me the Trinity? And I'd say, you got the Trinity out of that? And, you know, they would just you know, say, there's another verse I got to show, you know, and they would let me continue to do this. And I had a lot of time. They would just say, well, we'll be back later. And they'd never come back later. Yeah,
right.
They never
and you know, one thing I've learned from another ex-Jehovah's Witness, and this is brilliant, when they all of a sudden have to get up because they have another appointment, ask them, really, who with, where at? Because when they do that, most of the time, they're actually lying. And they
it's
don't
called
call
kingdom
it
strategy.
They call it theocratic. Yeah. Theocratic war strategy is the technical mm-hmm. term.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So if you put them on the spot about that, it really bugs them and irks them. And right. it's not the goal to bug them and make them feel bad. The goal is to get them to think for themselves. Because once they start thinking for themselves, they're going to be able to start researching for themselves. They will be able to discover the truth. And then that's why our prayers are so important, because we need to intercede on their behalf that the grace of God would awaken within them, that they would believe the gospel.
That's right. That's right. I can tell you've got a lot of witnessing experience with them, so it'd be fun to go out witnessing with you to Jehovah's Witnesses. No.
Oh, especially if I dressed like one.
See, you just did it again. You just said something that a lot of people don't pick up on. This tells me you have spent a lot of time talking to them. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a certain style of look, and the Mormons do too. They're very similar, but I can often tell, right. Oh, they're J-Dubs as they're on a Saturday, you know, just driving down the road. Okay, those are Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, and I've often followed, turn around and go, no, how do you know they're J-Dubs? I just know, and go back and follow them. I call it dub hunting. Well, sometimes what I used to do is go to the Kingdom yep. Halls on a Saturday and wait for them to leave, and I'd follow, just pick a car, you can't do all of them, pick a car, go into the neighborhood, and pass out my warning track, which I just now checked, there's a broken link on CARM, we got to fix that. But the warning track, in fact, Dr. Walter Martin, I used to go to his classes, and I used to, I've met him a few times, and some people I worked with were working with him. So I had this thing called the warning track, and it's on CARM. You can see the printed, the text version of it. The downloadable. I just have to re-upload it. But at any rate, Walter Martin wanted to order 100,000 of them and pass them out on doors because wow. they inoculate people from joining Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's called the warning track.
Right.
And, so he wanted to order 100,000. He was going to advertise them over his national radio show. And then he passed away. And then, I don't know if you ever heard of Jerry and Marion Bodine, but they worked with him at CRI, at Christian Research Institute. So, about 4 or 5 months later, I approached Jerry, and I said, "Hey, Jerry, you know, would you like to do this thing with the track with Walter Walt that Martin wanted to do?" And he said, "Yes, let's do it." Then Jerry had a stroke, so you know, it never got out in that sense. But anyway,
oh wow,
yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'm working on a project now, and I'm going to have a couple of my friends in on it. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, I'll have to send you the YouTube video. I'm going to have a friend of mine go inside of the Kingdom Hall, and they're going to be texting me. I've actually discovered a way I will be able, over their PA system that they use in their services, I will be able to wash out whatever goes over their microphones. I'll be able to play whatever I want in their services, and they won't be able to stop it.
I don't know if that's legal. You got to find out if that's legal, man.
It's not.
Well, hey, I appreciate that, Jen. Let me know, okay? We got to get going. We got some calls.
Yep.
Wait. All right, buddy, God bless. Enjoyed talking to you.
All right.
That was fun. I actually enjoyed that. He really does know what he's doing. He's out there a lot. Praise God. Hey, we have three open lines, folks. 877-207-2276. Be right back.